Grace, mercy, and peace be to you, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. What is the end goal? What do you hope to accomplish? These questions often come to mind when the future is looked at, when something is planned and needs to go right. Many college students and people preparing for kids preparing for college will have to ask, what is the end goal of it? What do you want to do at the end of it? When you start a project for a long time, you often think, what is the end goal? What's it going to look like when it's finally accomplished? So that you can take the steps and see what is you need to do to get to there. As Christians, we have an end goal as well. Our end goal is the wonderful peace that Christ brings. The wonderful time when he will come again in glory to judge both the living and the dead. This is the end goal of Christianity, when Christ comes again. We actually get to see, at least hear, a little bit of what that might be like in Isaiah today. Isaiah gives this wonderful, beautiful description of what the kingdom of heaven on earth is going to be like. It's going to be like a desert, barren before, but now when the kingdom of God comes, water will spring up from it. Beautiful flowers will bloom, and people will come from all around, and they will drink of the waters of life. It'll be like a road stretched out before all people. And on this road, everyone will be able to walk safely. No highwaymen will come and rob you. No lions will come to devour you. And even those who might be considered foolish, they might not even understand it all, will still be guarded on it, protected by God. This is the wonderful kingdom of heaven. Even more so, there will be no more sin. There will be no more brokenness in this kingdom of heaven. The lame will walk. The blind will receive their sight. The dead shall be raised to life, and there will be rejoice upon rejoicing upon rejoicing. This is a wonderful picture. The end goal of Christianity, the end goal of God's redemptive work. And the kingdom of God comes. For John the Baptist came. We heard about it last week. John the Baptist appears on the scene. Make way for the way of the Lord. Keep his paths straight. The kingdom of God is at hand. This kingdom that God has promised in Isaiah came down. John prophesied to this. He said it is at hand. Repent and be baptized. And so Christ came too, after John, greater than John, and said, the kingdom of God is here. Repent and believe in the gospel. The kingdom of God is right now, my brothers and sisters in Christ. Wish I could give an amen to that and just end the sermon. I'm pretty much sure we'd be done in record time. But there's a problem. A big one. One that cannot be ignored. John's in prison. You might not understand why that's important to the narrative of the story, of Matthew. Matthew's teachings are all about God and Jesus being in the kingdom of God, proclaiming, teaching. Matthew primarily is a teaching gospel, teaching the people of Israel that this Jesus is the one who was spoken of by the prophets, the one who will come and save his people from the sins, the one who will establish the kingdom of God, which will reign forever and ever and have eternal peace, restoration, and blessedness. And there's a problem, because chapter 11 in Matthew is where things go wrong. It is the turning point in the gospel. Before this, Jesus is proclaiming the kingdom of God, and we see the wonderful miracles that he does. He is teaching upon the mountain where he will give the words of God, proclaiming what he wants his people to do in this kingdom. And in chapter 11, it all is going to go horribly wrong. It starts to. Because John the Baptist is in prison. This is the same guy who spoke with great fervor about the evils of this world, about how God is going to come down and the evil people are like chaff on the threshing floor, who will be swept away and burned into the fire, whose God, his axe is at the root, ready to chop down the evil tree. And John is in prison. Imprisoned by Herod Antipas, who he spoke out against for marrying his brother's wife, Herodotus. John is in prison by evil men. Put yourself in John's place. You have been proclaiming God's word, proclaiming the words of Isaiah, that the one who comes, it'll be like a desert, bursting forth life. Where the kingdom of God has come. And indeed it has. His words were spoken and echoed by Jesus himself, the very Son of God, proclaiming the truth that the kingdom of God isn't some far-off dream. It is here on earth right now. For everyone, where peace comes and true everlasting life, and yet John is in prison. Corralled by the evil. Subdued by the evil. Silenced by the evil. He's confused. Angry. Frustrated. Scared. Struggling. So he sends his disciples, those few that he has left, for many have gone to follow after Christ, as it should be, for he must decrease while Christ increases. Knowing even that, he sends his disciples to his cousin, Jesus. And they give him a heartbreaking message. Are you the one who was promised from of old? Or should we look to another? This is the same John who spoke with fervor that Jesus Christ was the Lamb of God who would take away the sin of the world, who baptized him, saw heaven open up, heard the voice of God speak that this was his beloved Son, saw the dove descending, and Christ being empowered by the Holy Spirit. Are you the one who is to come? Or should we look for another? John is broken down. He looks around and he sees a jail cell. He looks around and he sees those who are evil laughing at him. The Roman Empire is still around, collecting soldiers to send up north to Britannia to fight in wars. His people are still slaughtered, mistreated. Those who abuse the word of God in his temple, who distort the law of the Lord for their own gain, are getting away with it. And yet John is here. He proclaimed truthfully. He lived the best life that he could. He proclaimed the word of God, and yet he is in jail. Subdued by the evil of the world. He knows what's going to happen next. There is no doubt in his mind. He will die. Killed by the evil of this world. My brothers and sisters, we are in John's place here in 2019. We know in our hearts that the kingdom of God, we know that His kingdom is here. We know that God reigns over all. He reigns as the one who created all things, to whom all things owe their breath, of whom all things are subdued under Him, of whom He is the one who controls all things. We know that He even sent His Son onto earth to die for our sins. We know that through Him we have salvation and life eternal. We know that in Him that He is in control of all things, that He works everything for our good, and yet we look around us and it seems like the world is on fire. Every time we turn on the news, there's a death, a tragedy, a shooting, a natural disaster. We look to our leaders in power and we see only corruption. What are the rumors that they've done it or not? What are those who are hating our rulers and speaking out against them? Of those even doing it, even on our social media pages, we look down and we look through a Facebook feed, Instagram feed, Twitter, whatever you use. And we look all these things and we just see evil upon evil upon evil. And we look here and we know that Christ has come. We know in this Advent season, as we prepare for His blessed birth, that there should be peace on earth and goodwill to men, and yet there is not. And so we struggle. And we, in our hearts, even though we know who Christ is, just as John did, even though we knew what He was going to do, just as John did, still ask, are You really the one who was prophesied of old? Or should we look to another? God knew this terrible paradox of life. Ever since the fall of Adam and Eve, we've lived it. God reigns, and there is evil. Some might want to explain it away. Someone might want to blame God. Some might even think that God might not even speak to it and just leave it. But God knew. God knew that His kingdom would come and there would be evil. Jesus even says it. That from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has suffered violence, and the violent carry it away. But Jesus speaks to John. And He speaks to us as well. Go and tell John what you see and hear. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up, and the poor have good news preached to them. For John, this was enough, perhaps. Hearing the wonderful ways that God was working in His kingdom, bringing forth a wonderful vision of Isaiah. That might have been enough. But what about us here? Is that enough? Do we see that happening around us in the world today? Personally, for me, I don't. There might be, but to my day-to-day, my everyday, I don't see that all the time. So what does God have to say to me in my struggles, in my time, where I'm asking the question, are You the one who has prophesied of old, or should we look for another? He speaks. Jesus knew that this was going to be so. We have a God who knew what it was at stake. He didn't shy away from it either. Instead, He sent His Son into this world to live it. I want you to keep that in your heads. The babe who was born in Bethlehem, true God and true man, a paradox in itself, came down and lived. He saw the world. He lived in this world. He who was true God and true man, who came and he brought the kingdom of God with him, was beaten. The one who came, who was true God and true man, who proclaimed the word of God, who proclaimed the kingdom of God was here, who healed the blind and he raised the dead back to life, was ostracized by his own family. The one who came, who was born in Bethlehem, who spoke and the word of God, who came to take away the sins of the world, did so by dying on the cross, forever scorned, forever hated. This is who God is. He knew what was at stake. He saw us. He saw his people living in a world full of hatred, and he came down. And he proclaimed wonderful news. He gave for his people living in this broken world life everlasting. And he didn't leave us with just that's it, but he promised us many things. He knew that there would be evil in this world, that it would continue to reign. He proclaimed that he came to overcome the world. And we know this is true. He overcame it upon the cross and the resurrection from the dead. And the promises that he gave to us. Promises that if we believe in him, we shall not perish, but have eternal life. That if we trust in him, that he would keep us safe to life everlasting. That he would guard our souls and guide our feet. It's difficult to believe this sometimes. It's hard for me. It was hard for John. Yet God does give, once again, a very word to him. A blessing, actually. Make no mistake, my brothers and sisters in Christ. It's hard to follow Christ in this world when we see the evil around us, when we don't know what'll happen next. But God does not leave us like this. He acknowledges it and even blesses us. The ESV, the English Standard Version of the Bible, when it goes to this verse in Matthew, they actually, offended is a decent translation. But there's a better one. Christ says to John, after telling him, his disciples, after telling him all the wonderful things that he had done, how the kingdom of God was indeed here, says these words, "Blessed is the one who is not," and this is in the Greek, better translation, "blessed is the one who is not caused to stumble because of me." Christ is a stumbling block to the Jews and foolishness to the Greeks, but he is our rock and our fortress, a mighty hand worthy to save. He knows that he has come and that in this world we'll have trouble. And he has overcome the world. For my brothers and sisters in Christ, there is great news for us that we have salvation and life eternal. And with a great promise that Christ will come again. But for now, we live in the paradox. We live in a place where evil is reigning and will sometimes win. But God has come to overcome the world, and he has. And he will come to take away evil and destroy it, just not yet. And that's a stumbling block. But blessed is all who Jesus is not the stumbling block, who trust in his promises, who believe on faith that he is the one promised of old. And he has given us helpers, fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, who James in his epistle implored to bear each other up in all goodness. He has given us examples of the prophets, who they themselves were persecuted, hated, and destroyed and killed, and yet still believed and had faith in the coming kingdom of God, the kingdom we live in now, and that we even see to the end goal of that true restoration of this world. It seems far off, and it is seemingly very far off. But we take heart. And what the prophet Isaiah even said before he proclaimed this wonderful, beautiful message of life and peace in the kingdom of God. Be strong. Fear not. Say to the anxious, be strong and fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, with the recompense of God. He will come and save you. As Christ said, he who has ears, let him hear. Amen.